she saw the fun we had, she joined the crowd.
And she said, stop, 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 stop your feet. Come on, clap, 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 and start on our feet. And then we'll shout, shout, shout.
Well, there's Jan and Dean with a song with the quirky title of Hey Jean, Hey Dean. They put a lot of thought into that, didn't they? 14 minutes past 11 here on Adelaide's Coast FM. And my guest in the studio is Ian Smythe, and Ian is the Secretary of the Historical Radio Society of South Australia. And we're here together to talk about the fact that we're celebrating 100 years of radio here in South Australia, celebrating a centenary of broadcast sound, creativity and our voices. And it commenced on the 8th of November. It runs to the 24th of January at the Adelaide City Library. Ian, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Rob.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Ian, how did this exhibition come about?
Well, we knew 2 years ago that we were coming up for the 100th anniversary of broadcasting in this state.
Yes.
With the celebration of 5DN and 5CL were the first two licensed stations here in 1924 and 25.
Yes.
So we thought this deserves to be celebrated.
Absolutely.
And we looked around for a couple of venues and we were lucky enough to get two.
Uh-huh.
So Adelaide City Council came to the party and said they would like to do it as part of their music month in November.
Right.
And that just happens to coincide with the licence being granted to 5CL in November 1924 on the 20th.
And the exhibition is being put on in collaboration with the Adelaide City Libraries,
yep,
the Historical Radio Society of Australia, which is you, mm-hmm, your group, and the Ellison Museum of Radio and Magnetic Recording.
Yes. Now, Keith Ellison is one of our HRSA members.
Right.
He has a major collection of over 300 radios and another 300 or 400 tape recorders.
Oh, wow.
The collection was begun by his father.
Yes.
And they had a private museum in Fullerton in the early days until,
yes,
his father passed away. And Keith has now packed that whole exhibition into portable containers.
Yes.
And he travels around to different libraries and doing exhibitions. And this is the biggest one we've done with over 100 radios in one place at one time.
Wow. Golly gosh. And so we're going, well, we are. It's November and we're celebrating the first radio broadcast that happened in November 1924, on station 5CL.
Rob.
Yes.
Of course, there were many people who were broadcasting well before it was actually licensed.
Aha. Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people saw the new frontier of radio and wanted to get in on the action. So there were lots of people broadcasting before that,
yes,
on what were called temporary licenses.
Ah.
And the Postmaster General's Department, the old PMG, they licensed radio stations. And the first two who were given the official license to broadcast were CL and DN.
So, Ian, they had pirate radio way back then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not just off Kangaroo Island during Prosh.
And interestingly, Ian, in 1922 was the first official broadcast by the BBC in London.
Yep.
And so just 2 years later, here we were doing it here in South Australia, which I think is an amazing feat.
Yes, and 18 months after that, there were 1.5 million radios in households in South Australia.
Wow.
So you'd think about how the internet took off.
Yes.
This generation, radio did even faster take off in the 1920s.
Yeah, that's amazing growth.
Mm.
It's just fantastic. And so the exhibition, Ian, is going to be featuring vintage radio advertisements, promotional materials for radio shows, mm-hmm, historical photographs, a private collection of vintage portable radios, which you've just touched on, and a fascinating look at the evolution of radio broadcasting. It sounds very exciting.
Well, one of the things that's important to me personally is,
yes,
telling the social and economic and cultural story of the impact of broadcasting, mm-hmm, on this young Australia after the war.
Yes.
Well, between the wars, really, when it first began.
Correct.
Yes.
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 And so the exhibition is running right through until February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy to find?
The Adelaide City Council Library can be difficult to find. It's
right.
Actually, if you picture Rundle Mall, and about halfway along there is the Apple Store.
Yes.
Two floors above,
mm-hmm,
is the Adelaide City Council Library, but you have to enter from the side lane. So if you're coming from Grenfell Street, you go through Da Costa Arcade.
Yes.
Through the little alleyway at the end of Da Costa Arcade. There's a big sign and a lift on the right, uh-huh. and you catch the lift up to the third floor, and you're right in
and there
the
it
library,
is.
And there it is.
Do you know, I didn't know that library existed.
It's a big library too.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And Ian, you were mentioning to me off-air that, in fact, there's going to be a second exhibition commencing on the 14th of February, and I know where this library is, the State Library on North Terrace.
Correct, yes.
What's that going to involve?
Well, that's a little larger because it's going to include television as well as radio.
Uh-huh.
So it's celebrating not just the birthday of those two radio stations, but broadcasting more generally.
Yes.
So we're going to look at transmission. We're mm-hmm. going to look at television. We're going to look at youthquake of the 70s when the Beatles came to Adelaide.
Yes.
The impact that the baby boomers had on radio and on the media generally.
Yes.
And also about employment and manufacturing. There were over 30 radio station, or sorry, there were 30 companies building radios in Adelaide.
Wow.
Until the 1950s.
30 manufacturers.
30 different ones. And one of the biggest, of course, was Philips at Hendon,
mm.
Who moved here from Sydney just towards the end of World War II.
Yes.
It's an interesting story how that came about. When Hiroshima was bombed,
yes.
and Darwin were bombed, the Australian government felt it wasn't really a good idea to have all of their electronic resources in one city at the same time. So AWA moved to Melbourne. And Phillips were encouraged to come and move to Adelaide.
Wow.
And Tom Playford, who was our state premier at the time,
yes.
he gave them an old munitions factory at Hendon and that land and a whole lot of housing around it. And so Phillips came here. And at their heyday, the yes. Phillips factory at Hendon employed over 4,000 workers, most of whom were women and most of whom were new migrants.
Good heavens. 4,000?
Yes, yeah. So the economic impact and the social impact of that was enormous.
Yeah, absolutely. That's extraordinary. I had no idea. Amazing. 4,000 women. And very clever of the Australian government to diversify the industry and not have it all consolidated in Sydney and spread it out. As you said, AWA went to Melbourne and...
Yep. Mm. Phillips came here.
Yeah. Wonderful. Mm. And so that's going to be... the second exhibition, which commences on the 14th of February at the State Library. And, of course, it's involving television as well, which began in 1956 for the Melbourne Olympics.
That's right, and it didn't come to Adelaide until 59
uh-huh.
when NWS 9 in Tint Street, which is one of my former employees, when they started.
I see. But the exhibition will cover the 1956 Olympic Games?
Not directly, no.
Right.
No, it's more about, it's more generic than that.
Right, yeah. right. Mm. And off from there, which
yes.
of course, and that grew incredibly
That's
quickly
right.
as
yep.
well.
Mm. Mm. So we have some radios and some television programs that will be playing live, even old... off black and white old TVs that no longer can receive broadcast signal.
Oh, okay.
Have been brought back to life and will be on show.
Oh, wow. Ian, just tell us very briefly about your organisation, the Historical Radio Society of South Australia.
Mm-hmm. We're a national organisation, so it was originally incorporated in Victoria.
Yes.
And there are branches in most capital cities around, and a couple of country regions as well mm-hmm. around Australia, who are affiliated nationally. So there'll be about 1,500 national members
mm-hmm.
and about 160 in South Australia.
Right.
And quite a few of them are very active members.
Yes.
And so we all collect and restore valve equipment.
Right.
We just like the sound that valves give.
Yes. And where do you meet?
We meet at St. Cyprian's Church Hall in North Adelaide
mm-hmm.
on the last Sunday of every month.
On the last Sunday of every month. Mm. And is the public welcome?
Of course they are, yep. Mm. Come along if you have an interest in radio. We'd run workshops and teach, yes, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an electronic background.
Right.
I was a teacher by trade.
Yes.
And prior to that, I worked in children's television.
Mm.
So I don't have that kind of electronics knowledge. So getting there and talking to fellow members,
yes.
I've learnt so much.
I'm sure. Mm.
It's been my hobby since my retirement.
Right, yeah. A bit like me and community radio.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We're all lifelong learners.
And Ian, of course, the exhibition that we're talking about right now that's already underway, and that's open, of course, to the public.
Yes.
Yep, oh, that's great. Well, look, thank you so much for joining me this morning. That exhibition again, 100 Radios for 100 Years exhibition celebrating the centenary of broadcast, sound, creativity and our voices. It commenced on the 8th of November. It runs to the 24th of January at the Adelaide City Library. And Ian, again, it's just off Rundle Mall.
Yes.
tucked away down a little laneway, catch a lift.
That's correct.
To the third floor.
Yes.
I was paying attention.
You can't go wrong.
Ian, thank you so much. My guest in the studio, Ian Smyth, Secretary of the Historical Radio Society of South Australia.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Ian.
It's 23 minutes past 11 here on Adelaide's Coast FM. Rob McLennan with you on a Wednesday morning. Back to the music. And you'll know the song, Happy Days.